Today on the dirt bike track, we learned that illusions can manifest from many things, such as trauma of a father slain by alien robots, a motocross career that doesn't quite pan out, or an entire mountain town worshipping giant lizard monsters who have no clue who they are or that they themselves are in an illusion. Speaking of giant lizards in need of worshippers, my name is James.
I'm Nicole.
And this is Mostly Speaking Spider-Man. Yes, guys, like I said, my name is James, and to all you stupid people out there, here's your sign. Hey, another stupid person out there, here's your sign. Whoa, Donald Trump, guess what? Here's your sign. Everyone in Good Morning America, here's a bunch of signs behind ya. Oh, dang, I just ran a stop sign. Here's my sign in the form of a ticket that I will be paying, okay? Because that's how the government works. We feed off from tickets, and that's why we have to keep issuing them. That's why there's quotas to be made. That's why there's speed traps. That's why drugs are illegal, so we can fuel our government's economy, okay? Drugs being illegal is being a civil servant, okay? And speaking of civil servants, I'm a servant to this civil dame over here. She's the emissary of hell, but most importantly, the expert exerciser of mullums. It's the nickel, the bricks, Jakus.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I got a part-time job.
Ooh, more than part-time.
What?
Yeah. You have so many hours now.
Oh.
Like a bunch.
Since when?
I mean, like, caps at 30 hours?
Yeah.
Okay, 29, because 30 becomes full time.
Oh.
So if all of a sudden you're like, I'm getting up to 30, guys.
Yeah.
They'll say, get out of here.
Yeah, I work at, it's for like a gift shop, but it's in their little warehouse, like packaging online orders, like basically just shipping and receiving.
Mm-hmm. You are part of the shipping and handling.
Yeah.
That fee pays your living wage just like a drug bust pays for the roads to be paved. Yes, the
okay.
Rose.
What?
The
okay.
Single rose from, because this
I'm
is the thing.
I'm just going to gloss over that.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast, they should have
no,
just paved that rose.
I'm glossing over it.
And
I'm
then
glossing
he
over it.
He could have just like found his dame whenever.
So now I can pay my rent with Ooh. That, and now the money I make from art can be
Goes
used
to, me.
To make more
Dang
stuff.
It. Make me a stuff.
Instead of just going straight to my landlord.
I think what's going to happen is in yes. my taxes filing, I'm going to file as stuff. So then Nicole will start giving me money.
What?
Yeah. Because you said it's going to start going to stuff instead of rent. So then if I, like, government-wise, going hard on the government today, if I'm filing mm-hmm. as stuff and not an individual, I get that money from you.
Okay. Yeah. That's how that works.
Oh, yeah. Had to explain it a second time. Here's your sign.
Oh, my God.
Hey, guys. You know our guest from the wildly popular podcast, Sweet Child of Time, especially comparatively to most of the podcasts on Marshland Media. Yay. It's Intro Void, who has a new single out with Lindsay Dunn titled...
In the Woods Somewhere,
Ooh.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful song.
Yeah, thank you. It's me, Steve Barnes, not Intro Void. I'm Steve Barnes.
Nope, you're Intro Void now, was, is, and always shall be just like Gigi Allen.
Like a one-word name. I kind of like that because it's like easy to Google. That's why mm-hmm. I chose that name because like when you Google Intro Void, it's either me or it's this guy who does like Bitcoin, a Bitcoin artist.
Oh, damn.
So you know if it's Bitcoin, it ain't me. All the other stuff is me. Nicole, congrats on that job. I've seen you on TikTok doing all kinds of stuff like that anyway in your own time. So it's like
yeah.
a perfect fit.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because I thought I wasn't going to get it like I applied and then I called them and they were like, oh, we're not hiring. And then like a week or so later, they emailed me and was like, hey, do you still want this job? And then went to the interview. The interview went amazing.
Smashing.
And then I got hired. And my first day is in like 2 days from this recording.
Oh, you haven't had a first day yet.
No, because I went to visit my sister over the weekend.
See, for us on Discord, it was a roller coaster ride because we saw, like, I applied for a job. And then you were like, the interview went, like, great. And then, like, I saw a post where you were like, they interviewed other people, too. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I didn't know she was in competition. I thought they were just calling in Nicole.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I got it. And I was like, she obviously rocked harder than those other people. So, good stuff. My stomach was reeling.
They were also hiring for like in-store positions. So I was like, I don't know how many of the people actually want the warehouse job.
And it's super close.
Yeah, I didn't want to like triangulate us by saying how close it was.
We could just say it's close.
Yeah.
You got to take the L.
Yeah, yeah. We have to take the L.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
If you take the L, guess what? You're taking an L because you shouldn't be taking the L.
There's your sign, James.
Oh, yeah. Here's your sign. Guys, we are referencing the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and we are talking about that because Sean and I did a watch-along of it on the Patreon, $10patreon.com/MLMpod. You can listen to that. And I don't understand the where's your sign, here's your sign. We can't get into it anymore.
No, we can't. I've been assigned homework. I have to listen to that watch-along. So as soon as this is over, I'll get to listening to it.
Why is it? You are a $10 patron. It shouldn't be homework.
Well, I don't know. I take my job seriously, James. And when my boss demands I do something, I do it. I mean, I'm back here in Marshland Media now. It's been a while since I've been here. So I'm back in the office. I checked in at HR. They said my pass let me through. So, yeah, anything you assign me here, I'm going to take it seriously, James. Like, I took the Spider-Man episode seriously.
Yeah, I think the last time you were here was Death From Above, a Sam and Max podcast.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Nicole wasn't sitting over there, though. It was just you and I, James.
Yeah, but that's still Marshland Media.
I mean, it is, yeah, because you were in control of it. That's correct. But, you know, I feel like I'm getting the full view. I'm getting all the employees of the network here in one room together, like in a conference. So
I guess Lil Corey's chop liver.
Oh, crap. I forgot.
He's technically a paid employee.
I didn't realize that. Okay. I did realize that. I'd forgotten that fact. I've been vying for his position for a while, but he refuses to budge. So I think you're stuck with Corey.
Yeah, because you know things existed, unlike Corey. He just revealed it's coming on the Critters episode. He said, yeah, I've never seen the original Ninja Turtles trilogy. And I'm like, dude, why?
I mean, I have, but like it was kind of against my will. My friends at the time were into them, so I had to go with them. I didn't really enjoy them, James. I wasn't really into them.
And you didn't rewatch them with Caleb?
He was not a Ninja Turtle guy. He was more of a cartoon guy. That's what he always watched. So we watched a lot of Ed, Edd n Eddy, Powerpuff Girls. Yeah, that was his jam.
Okay. Well, I was into it all, baby. You want to know what? I was going to be like, oh, what did I do this week? But all I did this week was Batman. And let me tell you, he might not eat pussy, but he sure eats ass. Because I did him this week.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. I've just been reading a copious amount of Batman stuff, just churning through books, like 7 to 8 issues a day.
Okay, well, you know I'm gullible. Like, I don't know if anybody listening, this is like the first time hearing me, but I'm very gullible. So I usually take everything James says at face value, especially when we're recording together like this. Because, you know, I'm like half nervous and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, of course, that's true. I mean, absolutely. So, I mean, I'll fall for anything you tell me. I did it last night with Lindsay. We were recording our episode number 99 of Sweet Child of Time.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Naive nine.
There we
We're
go.
Almost out of the Nynaeves and into the Hun-Huns. But yeah, she was making jokes. I was taking them at face value. I'm no good at that, James. I'm a fool. And
you really thought I was being eaten out by Batman?
No, I thought you were eating Batman's ass.
No. He's eating me.
But either way, it didn't happen. It just happened in your head. Like,
how would it have happened?
There's plenty of weird people in Chicago. I mean, there's a lot of people in Chicago, too. Number three city in the United States.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson's walking down the street and he says, damn, that dairy hair needs a layer of saliva.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
I say, oh, my God, you're my favorite Batman.
Here's your sign.
Oh, damn. Yeah, because he's so stupid that he'd even need to ask.
Yeah.
Or even make it known that my ass needs a layer of saliva on it.
Jeez. Can we talk about Spider-Man, not Batman?
Oh, damn. Do we?
Calling it already.
Okay. Today we are discussing episode 19 of Spider-Man Toei Style, entitled, it's such a long title and I had to write it in this little bit. The Mirage-like boy in the village not found on any map.
Not found in anywhere. Like, I'm questioning if it even existed. I saw those last scenes, and it leaves it open-ended. Mm-hmm. Like, it leaves it, like, up to the viewer as to whether or not you can find it on a map or in reality or not.
Next March, on the Patreon, Lil Corey and I are going to do a four-part series on this existed? Did this town even exist?
Stupid. So you said this new Amazoness, is she still Amazoness?
Yeah, okay. So this is, real quick, let's give a rundown of the episode. Spider-Man sees a boy. This boy's creepy as all hell. Somehow winds up in his home and says, hey, look in my eyes. Actually, don't look directly in my eyes. Look like 5 feet in front of my eyes. I'm going to give you a hologram of my town. My sister's going to be sacrificed. Spider-Man shows up. Hey, guys. This isn't a real, like, deity. It's just a robot made by these fuckers. And then he takes him down. No sacrifices. Spider-Man. But the most important thing about this episode is the first appearance of Amazoness's first costume change. Because I think there's two more.
Whoa.
So a total of four. But they're all variations of this and the first.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really odd, and I looked online, could not find any reason, because all of a sudden, she's just in a different outfit. My guess is toys, huh? Or mothers were saying, my husband's eyes are wandering on a child show. Take this down.
Well, I was like, is it just this episode?
No. This continues.
Because I was like, that would add to the weirdness of the missing town or whatever.
Is this the pink-haired woman with the white outfit? Is this what we're talking about? Okay, I'm with you.
Because you are on another Spider-Man, right?
Correct.
Yes, so she used to just be in like a black onesie, pretty much like a leotard, not a onesie, like a one piece bathing suit, but you do gymnastics in it. So like she was like very showing skin and just like her normal black hair, no tiara, nothing additional. But now she looks like a magical girl.
Yeah.
So she had black hair before and now it's pink.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
But also a completely different suit.
Okay, how'd you even recognize her?
I mean, it's clearly this woman.
Because she's the only fucking woman in this, in the evil army.
I have a wardrobe prediction to make as to why this is happening. Because Spider-Man's mask was looking, like, not great. Corwin mentioned that a few episodes back, that his costume was getting kind of a little bit beat up and not looking as crisp as it used to. And I think that continues in this episode. And I think that was happening maybe with her outfits, and they needed to freshen them up because they were getting dirty and they couldn't clean them. Dry clean only.
Okay, counterpoint, if you've been having that issue for 18 episodes, why change to a white outfit?
And bright red pink hair.
And the way she was at the door too, like both times that they rang the little doorbell and like she appeared. There's somebody I work with, and she has a stand-up desk, like, right by her door.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you don't see her. But then, like, you know, you walk into her office, and then she, like, just kind of turns around, and she's, like, right there standing up. So I kind of imagine that whoever this woman's name is, what's her name again?
Amazoness.
Yeah, Amazoness has a stand-up desk right there.
Okay.
Next to that sliding door, and that's where she does all her stuff. And that's why she's standing right there. Otherwise, why would she be standing right there?
does this fellow coworker, they should have a lazy Susan they stand on so they can just rotate with like a push of a button. They go, hello.
I should suggest that to her. Yeah, there is like a little, we do have a little treadmill thing that sometimes goes around the office and people mm-hmm. will use that at their desk. It's kind of silly. We don't really do it much anymore, but she gets hold of that sometimes.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing, except for it only goes one direction. So.
Ooh, Liam.
Harry. And then maybe she could like, I don't know, put like one of those little sitting spells on that. So she's still walking, but she can like use the momentum like I'm doing now to kind of move around. I like that idea. I'll tell Devin that next time I see her.
How about a speaking spell?
For?
What would that do?
I don't know. You said something that sounded like speaking spell. So I was like, she could also add that. Yeah. Sit and spin with a speaking spell.
S&S with an S&S.
A speaking spell, you can sit and spin on it in a specific fashion. Mm-hmm. You know, like a... Mm-hmm. Happy parts, private parts, Howard Stern, you know, you sit over it and you start talking and it talks back to you and vibrates your hoo-ha.
Okay.
Have you never seen Private Parts?
There's only one part I remember from that movie. And it's actually one of those things that's like really stuck with me. It's become a core memory of mine. He is at this one of these really bad radio stations and he has like a cowboy hat on and it's like ridiculous. And he like turns to like his manager and he's like, you know, I think I quit. I think this is it. And he walked out. That has always stuck with me. And like, I think that almost all the time at work, I'm like, this is it. I think I'm done. I'm gone.
Damn.
So that's the only part I really remember from Private Parts is that one individual part.
What about Private Sharts? I don't think a lot of sharts are private.
They all should be.
Everyone around you is going to know. Unless you're by yourself.
I mean, depending on your diet. Depending on your diet, you know?
No, because then you're like the way you walk up and get to where you need to go.
Yeah, I've seen some funny walkers. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that because, yeah, I'm thinking of a funny walker right now. So this little kid in this episode that's like on the dirt bike track
mm-hmm.
and he looks like and acts like my nephew, Nick. Heavily reminds me of Nick this whole time through, even the way he was acting, even the way he was like just whatever. So one summer, just to give you an example of how Nick is, we were on vacation together. He was like maybe 13, 14, maybe older. And so he saw this meme that he thought was hilarious, an anime meme, and the person had their shoulders hunched up really tight and they would walk in this stiff-legged fashion. And he thought that was hilarious. So he did that the entire week that we were on vacation. He walked around like that, like as if nothing was abnormal or wrong with that. That was just how he walked that week. And that's what this little kid reminded me of.
But it was just because he was sharting nonstop.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
no
yeah.
one, that coming back around, no one thought, oh, Nick has sharted here. Because it looked, that's the way he was walking.
Uh-huh.
Like he could have a shart in his pants. Nobody suspected that. So I think... people just think you saw an anime meme.
Yeah.
And that's why you're walking funny.
All right. Hey, anime is really giving freaks out there a go ahead to do whatever they want in public. Shart, run funny, and I don't know, attack giants.
Yeah. Do you think Ratman's listening?
Yeah, of course Ratman's listening.
I hope so. I'd never heard him brought up before on the show. I just wanted to like, you know, acknowledge that. I thought it was great when he joined the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just kind of made this appearance, kind of like, ta-da, I'm here, Ratman.
Yeah, Ratman's cool.
Yeah, I told you, I'm gullible. I was like, hell yeah, the fucking Ratman's here. And I had no idea who he was.
We didn't either.
I just gravitated to him immediately. Do y'all know Ratman?
No. Mm-mm. Not personally.
Okay, right on. Well, he deserves a shout out.
Like, Ratman.
I usually shout out Steve F because Steve F is always like mm-hmm. liking my stuff on Instagram and stuff. So I like to shout him out, but... freaking Ratman, he's hilarious.
Yeah, guys, all you need to do to get a shout out from us is go to patreon.com/MLMpod, $10,
mm-hmm.
or just talk to us. But after you said that kid reminds you of your nephew, I might have to scratch out a lot of these notes.
Oh, what?
Because I'm like, run from any child who is dead face in danger that then turns with a smile to you. Ugh. This kid was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick is not creepy. Let me just clarify that. He's just very odd. Okay, right now he's 22. This is how old he is now. And just to give you an example, like our family, we have kind of like a small family, but it's kind of wide reaching in a bit because me and Caleb's mom are divorced. Mm-hmm. So we have two separate families. Nicholas spends so much time over at Caleb's mom's house, at my ex-wife's house. Like that's like one of his normal hang spots that he's always out. The other night I went to my sister's house. Nicholas had just came from Caleb's house. Then he came to my sister's house to hang out with me and my sister. And then from there, he was going to Christy's house, my ex-wife, just to hang out over there with her and her son, who he's not even friends with. He's more friends with the parents, even though they're in their 50s.
He's a family man.
He's a family man. And he just shows up and he has a good vibe, but he's also very odd. He's an odd guy that's always around. And maybe this kid, he's not as creepy and nefarious as this kid. And he certainly can't show you images out of his eyes like this kid can.
That you know of.
That I know of. I mean, he's shown me some weird stuff and not that yet.
When he was a little kid, did he just come up to you and say, "Hey, Uncle Steve," and then like turn his eyelids inside out and go, "Eh."
Yes.
All right.
That was the kind of kid he was.
All right,
exactly.
There we go.
And I'm Uncle Stevie, by the way. That's how all of my nieces and nephews refer to me. Uncle Stevie. So get it straight.
Yeah, James. Here's your sign.
Yeah, here's my sign. Name of the episode. Here's your sign. We're taking it from you, Bill.
He says, good, it was a bad bit anyway.
Yes. He's like, I can't believe that took off. But I guess any catchphrase during the boom of stand-up, you could throw on a t-shirt, you're good to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's right, as long as it's on one of the seven channels that everybody watched. And like, it was very, like, a tuned-in audience. Now, I mean, everybody's watching 1,000 channels, so it's going to get past you, but those guys were shoved down our throat with authority, like t-shirts, bumper stickers, the whole nine.
Yeah.
They had some great publicists on their side.
Here's your sign. The publicists were just handing out signs to everyone who actually showed up to the shows.
I was going to chime in earlier. Every episode of this podcast, you start out something about the dirt bike track.
Yeah.
So we saw the dirt bike track this episode.
Uh-huh.
That's what first made me think about Nick, is because that's something Nick would totally do. Just stand in the middle of a dirt bike track and like look bewildered as people went past and then smile and wave at them. But I have like a relation with dirt bikes and stuff because I, you know, I'm a Virginia boy. So like when I grew up as a little kid, we lived like in some, you know, project apartment complexes. So there was nobody had bikes or anything. It wasn't like the kind of place where you needed that. Everybody was just right there. I mean, like you would have like a Frisbee or a football. You wouldn't have a bike or a skateboard.
Uh-huh.
So when I was like 10 or 11, I was adopted and I was in the suburbs now.
Whoa.
And everybody like lived on an acre or a half acre lot. Everybody had a bike. So all the neighbor kids that were like my age were, you know, kind of redneck. They all had dirt bikes and some of them even had like the motorized dirt bikes. So I got to man some of those at a young age. They would just trade them out and let us ride them. We ride them on the street too when you're not supposed to. So we have some pretty good dirt bike experience. And the very first time, not the first time I smoked pot, but the first time that I was actually high from smoking pot, me and my friend Billy were hanging out in the woods where we shouldn't have been. And one of our other friends came up on us on his dirt bike, and watching him like pull up in this big dust cloud, and it's like all loud and stuff. We're like, what's going on? And then like out of the mist comes our friend Kurt on his dirt bike. I mean, it was magnificent, James. It's like, it's again, one of my core memories of life is him pulling up on us on that dirt bike.
Hell yeah. Nicole, any core memories with a dirt bike?
My brother and sister, they didn't have their own. I think my dad got like one and then like went out and got them all the fucking gear and stuff.
Yes.
So dumb. I think it's the worst looking gear of any extreme sport.
And then, of course, like, I got nothing.
Uh-huh. You got scoliosis.
What the fuck? I got trauma. Fuck, I lost my train of thought.
They got all their shit. You didn't get anything.
Because, yeah, I was a scared child.
Did they ever, well, you were like, hey, guys, be safe. And they're like, shut up, nerd. And they just go vring, vring and just whip up a bunch of mud in your face.
No.
Dang it. If they did, I would have been like, your brother and sister just got a lot cooler.
I also don't remember that like lasting very long, which also tracks for my father.
Or tracks for your brother, probably just like got hurt real bad. And he said, ooh, no.
No. Of my dad like buying a dirt bike and then not being able to actually fucking pay for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you can buy a dirt bike and you need to have a helmet and stuff to go with it, but you can't afford the helmet and the stuff to go with it.
Yeah.
That was a classic in our neighborhood.
But back to this episode. He starts peeling away from this creepy kid, and the kid says, hey, where are you going? Guys, if a especially a stranger kid asks you where you're going, you don't need to respond. Because this could also be one of those setups where it's like, oh, a kid's just hanging out, but actually it's an adult who looks like a child, and then a bunch of people storm your car, and then they beat you up and steal your car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that stuff happens.
Not in this town, right?
In what town?
Spider-Man town.
Oh, I thought you were saying Guar town.
No.
What?
Whatever town this is filmed in. What town do they live in here?
I don't know.
Spider-Man world.
Some town?
Yeah, I don't know. Spider-Man town?
Uh-huh. Spider-Man looks at every villain and says, try that in my town. All right.
And then they do.
I think we can excuse Spider-Man, though, because he was kind of shook. This little kid shook him by, like, calling him out. So yeah. I think that's why he, like, answered him, because he was, you know, shook.
Yeah, the kid says, you're Spider-Man. And he says, no, I'm not.
Classic comeback.
Like when someone says you have a crush on someone that you actually do have a crush on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Vehemently deny.
Yeah.
Nicole, you have a crush on me.
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah, you do, you freak. So then we get an hallucination, Spidey sense by Spider-Man of his brother and sister in their house. And it's all like colored lighting and, you know, inverting, exposing the lens stuff.
Yeah. Poltergeist.
And it looks so much like the movie House that I think everyone should watch. It's a from like 1976-ish, maybe. It's a Japanese film. Ooh, baby, it's good.
But it turns out it was a hallucination.
It was all a dream.
I had a very vivid hallucination one time, for real. It was from huffing gasoline.
Oh, no.
When I was a kid. And I was in the garage, and it was in an enclosed environment, and I was huffing it way more than I should have. And at first, I started hallucinating voices, just voices, because the air conditioner was running in the background. So I could, like, hear kind of started sounding like voices, and in my head it was voices.
Okay.
And it was like family members telling me that I was bad for huffing gas. And then they started like appearing, like the wind from the air conditioner. I could see them coming. It was pretty scary. I ran out of the garage and I was still really jacked up, but I imagine this is how Spider-Man felt when this happened to him.
Yeah. He's like, oh man, I'm hopped up on gasoline. I've been dirt biking all day.
Yep.
I've been dirt biking in a bubble. Because he needs to be in an enclosed area.
Right. Okay, yeah.
So he's like Bubble Boy.
He should be in Marveler or whatever that thing is, the car he drives in. That's a convertible, isn't it?
Yeah. No, he's in the Marveler, like the big, or Leopardon. He's in there with his dirt bike just revving it up.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Get those fumes going.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And the CO2 fumes, too.
Or he replaced the dashboard with a dirt bike steering wheel. So he's just like, wee, wee.
That's unnecessary. It was the gas can itself that I was huffing. So he would just take the gas can for his dirt bike up in there with him. He doesn't need the dirt bike. That's overkill.
I do like whoever's house you were at. Were you at your own?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you closed the garage door and said, hey, I got to be cool when I get gassed up. You cranked the AC and said, this is going to be nice.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, the garage was like the cool out spot. We had a pool table in our garage as well, James, to give you like an idea. And that's also where we kept the lawnmower and the gas can and an air conditioner. But yeah, I was taking breaks in there, filling up gas, smelling some stuff and feeling good. I eventually threw up, by the way. Like, I eventually vomited at the end of that day. So it's all out of my system now.
I'm guessing you did not huff gas again.
Never again.
Okay.
If I even smell gas now, it brings back bad memories of that time. Because that's the only time I've ever hallucinated as well. Even though I've done like acid and mushrooms, I've never had a clear hallucination except from gasoline. So don't do gas.
Just the Apple logo for me. It came out at me when I turned on Apple TV.
Oh, yeah. That was a hallucination. Nobody else saw that.
Nope. Oh, yeah, no one else saw that. As time went slow and I was like, no, Nicole. I guess I was just like talking normal.
Yeah.
It was not normal to me, brother.
I mean, I feel like you were talking a little bit slower, but not that slow.
It's like Flash when he goes Flashpoint.
Yeah.
So then that kid shows up in his room, and guys, guess what? He should have smacked this kid for a few reasons. For blowing your cover, Spider-Man. Again, for not understanding why it was bad that he was blowing his cover. And for walking around in his house uninvited in shoes, just tracking in that mud.
I didn't notice the shoes. Did you, Nicole?
I'm just assuming he had shoes on.
Okay, that's pretty offensive. If that's the case, I stand by you. Otherwise, I don't know. I've been watching this show called Expats, and it's like filmed in Hong Kong. Very like crowded, and like every door you go into has like three people inside. There's like people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine this society might be like that. And it's just like, oh, it's just one of my neighbors wandering around in my kitchen, which is like totally normal in Hong Kong.
I'd say, shoosh, get out of here.
Go on, kid. What you doing?
Go on, get.
So go on, get her done.
Here's your sign. Tater salad. Oh, wait. You might be a redneck if you hallucinated on gas. There we go. All right. So then this kid says, you need to help me, Spider-Man. I live in this hidden village in the mountains, and my sister's going to be sacrificed. And Spider-Man's thinking to himself, oh, man, sacrifices human style in these times? Do you think somewhere, let's say in our society, are human sacrifices happening?
Huh.
When you say our society, you mean like American civilized society or like in the world somewhere?
In the woods somewhere. No,
he said the world.
No, but he has a song called In the Woods Somewhere that just released.
And that was a great tie-in.
So, yeah, like in America, you know how in True Detective season one, there was human sacrifice?
Yes.
Like, are people killing people for a higher significance?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, I hate to say yes.
Yeah, the almighty dollar.
You know, you ever heard of a cult?
But are people sacrificing in cults?
Yes.
Oh, they are? What cults?
You know, the classic Jonestown.
Nexium and...
Those weren't sacrifices, though. That was everyone's dying.
I mean...
That's true, but it's kind of the same thing.
People were technically sacrificed.
I do think Heaven's Gate took some of that stuff really seriously. And yeah, this is supposed to be light and fun, but yeah, I think you hit on something that actually happens in America, James.
Okay, well, I sacrificed
tragic.
I sacrifice my time every single day getting these podcasts out to you listeners, okay?
You do.
So think of me as like a lamb to the slaughter. And the higher power is enjoyment in your ears.
My faith got shattered this episode, I gotta say, talking about like, you know, faith and stuff. We'll get to it. No spoilers, no billboarding, but we'll get to it.
Did your perceived mind get shattered when you saw a child flying in the air?
Oh, no. I took that for granted. I was like, wow, these kids can do this in this place. Like, everybody can. So I just took that for what it was. Speaking of which, I'm going to turn to Nicole. This is another thing that James told me this about you, and I believed it.
I'm scared.
And I'm not sure if I should have believed it. He said for a space of time that he would awaken you in the morning by saying, The day waits for no... What was it, James? The day waits for no woman.
Yeah, I would say that.
Did James actually ever say that to you?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's because Nicole's sleeping as I say that.
I also don't know that I'm a reliable source for that because I was probably not awake.
Because I'm pretty sure we heard it on Wheel of Time. Someone said it there. And I was like, oh, I'm going to start saying that to Nicole because Nicole notoriously just keeps sleeping.
Yeah.
Right.
Henry has now learned that he doesn't get fed his breakfast until I wake up. And so now when he hears my alarm go off, we'll start like pawing me in the face.
Good. As he should. He's also been doing this thing. He's not pawing my face. He's just like, he just comes up to me and rubs his little cheek on my face in the middle of the night to kind of be like, hey, are you awake? And it's like, yeah, now I am.
Yeah.
And then he like just loafs on my chest.
That makes it sound like he took a shit on your chest.
Shit off my chest. Or shit on my chest.
No.
Shit on my chest and I ain't gotten off yet.
What?
Have I told that story on here?
No.
So maybe it was on a live stream that Lissasir was on. So when you do rap lyrics, you'll highlight lines, overdub them.
Okay.
And she had a line where it was, so it's just, she has headphones on, I do not. This is before we like stepped it up production-wise, and we were just doing rough drafts of songs to show Stitches to be like, hey, no, we're working on this album. So she's doing these overdubs of just like highlighting specific lines. Then she says, shit on my chest, off yet. And it's like, Demonic and I have to stifle laughter. Then when the verse gets done, she stops. She's like, did I fuck something up? And we're like, oh no, you just said out of nowhere, shit on my chest. And she starts busting up laughing. And she's like, should we keep that highlight then? And we're like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe don't highlight shit on my chest that I ain't got off yet.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It is very good. Can we go back to cat talk for a second? Because yes. Melissa has been, we're talking about cats, and I got to talk about Melissa, who's my favorite cat in the world currently. Even though she does attack Heather in the middle of the night, Heather will like, her eyelashes will like flutter in her sleep, and Melissa will like attack her eyelashes.
Wait.
Get a face mask.
Yes. She's also bringing in animals, both dead and alive.
Oh,
she's
no.
Brought in 3 live birds. Like, she'll catch a bird, the bird will be stunned. The bird will be like, I'm going to play dead. And then, like, it'll come in the house, she'll put it down, and then it'll start flying around, and we have to catch it and take it outside. It's awful. And a dead mouse. This was just 3 days ago. Heather, like, screamed upstairs. I was sitting right where I am now, and that's what it was, unfortunately. It was a dead mouse that Melissa had brought in from outside somewhere. Not a house mouse. It was an outside mouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross stuff. It's really gross. It's the downfall of having an indoor-outdoor cat in Virginia.
We just got indoor cats. They're like us.
I want to call those cat pranks.
Oh, yeah. I do. Just because we've seen memes on, like, Jimmy here where it's just a guy saying to his friend who works at a gas station, he's like, hey, have a nice day, and just throws a live bird that starts flying into the gas station, and he just like closes the door, and you hear his friend scream. That's like Melissa.
Yeah.
Do you know how you catch a dead bird in your house and then safely release it?
A live bird?
A live bird, I hope you mean?
I'm sorry, yes. A live bird flying around. How do you catch a dead
bird? Release it back to the wild.
Here you go, wild. Just gonna toss it out the back door,
just
give it a
flops.
Punt.
Just crashes to the ground with a thud.
If it's a live bird, however, and you want to catch it, the smartest thing to do is to take a sock, just grab any random sock, and put it on your hand, and that will protect you from anything the bird can do. Because I feel very brave with a sock on my hand. I can grab the bird and then throw it out the window.
Dang.
Without a sock on your hand, it's either probably gross, or it might harm the bird because your hand to the sock is like a protectant.
Yeah.
Any sock will do.
Mankind was telling us. He put that sock on his hand. He was trying to catch birds.
Yes.
Okay, but back to this kid flying. This is how I fly in dreams, butterfly net and all. I just like jump up real high and kind of glide. It's like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Me too.
It's
I love
big steps.
Those. Big steps. Yeah.
Yeah, like walking on the moon kind of thing.
One small step for man, one giant leap for a child who knows how to fly.
I was like envisioning maybe, I wonder how high they could go. Like, cause they would take a step and they go up. And I was wondering if like if they took another step, if they could project themselves a little higher and then just continue step, step, step up until they're, I wonder what the max is. They didn't really show us the max, but.
I believe the max high they can get is as high as a young Steve huffing gas.
God damn it.
And that's kind of high. I mean, they're going to throw up afterwards, mm-hmm. but it's a height.
They would need a specific like materia or whatever it's called in Kingdom Hearts that you enable double jump. So I think.
Yes.
I don't know if they can double jump.
Oh, if they could, they probably could not triple jump. Just double jump is like the max they could
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And like the guards were doing that too, right? Weren't like the guards in the khakis kind of flying
yes.
around too later?
Mm-hmm. Just getting smacked around.
Yeah. So if you're like an island dude like them, I mean, that's just like, I guess like a genetic trait on the island, I suppose.
Yeah. In this mountain village.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I keep calling it an island because it kind of had an island vibe to it.
Yeah.
You know? So you can forgive me for that.
It's technically Japan, so it is an island.
Yeah.
There
That's
you go.
That's why I keep saying yes. island.
So imagine walking up to someone and telling them, hey, human sacrifice, you don't actually need to do it. It will not affect the outcome of your life in any which way. And then the person says, I'm still going to do it.
Just in case.
Yeah. Because that's what this episode is. Spider-Man says, hey, guys, you don't need to do this. And they're like, no, no, no. The ancient text tells us.
Yeah, there's a lot of faith grappling here. Yeah, like I was saying, like all their faith depends on like fear of this thing in the water that's going to come out and get them.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like going to sacrifice herself to that thing. And I don't think they've ever actually seen it before, have they? Because they usually try to keep it at bay, right? That's the whole
yeah.
deal. It's like, we don't want it to come up.
Mm-hmm.
This might be like its first appearance, the first time they've seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she's, I guess it's like the kind of person that goes to church every Sunday, not because they have faith or they believe in God, but just in case.
Uh-huh.
One of those kind of deals, like a little back pocket situation.
Getting scared into religion, baby. But
that's the way.
They're being told that this scroll, this ancient scroll that has text on it, is telling them to sacrifice. And it would have been very funny if they unroll it and at the top it says, Top 10 Methods of Sacrifice by Amir Blumenfeld.
Oh my gosh.
I like it.
Jake and Amir.
Who's Amir Blumenfeld?
Jake and Amir, they were a college humor group and they had a lot of episodes where the format was, Amir unrolls this scroll and usually it just like the scroll gets shittier and shittier each time. Like one time it was just rolled up just normal paper and it's like top 10 ways to do something by Amir Blumenfeld. And then most of the time it's all the entries are not related to actually doing what the thing is.
Oh, so that's our theme then. So this is the top 10 ways you could sacrifice. And then like one of those ways would be like, you know, to have an ice cream sundae.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Okay.
Top 10 ways to sacrifice a human. Impregnate someone. So then it's like, no, that's actually the opposite.
Well, no, I feel like what Steve said would actually like.
Oh, yeah.
Like have an ice cream sundae. And then he like rhymes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want a fun day? Have an ice cream sundae.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah,
what?
There you go.
Use a knife. Like that would be the last one. And then yeah. you're like, oh, Jesus. Put a knife on a baby. It might make your lord crazy, but at least it'll save you from Hades.
Mm.
And then Jake Maybe. Would stand up and smack him and say, you're a monster.
Yeah. So, okay. So these villagers, I know they explained their backstory, but I feel like I missed it. Like so the kid, I think, said he's an alien.
Oh, I didn't catch
That's
that.
That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
He did say that. Yeah.
But also, like, their village supposedly was destroyed by lava or something?
Hmm. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, guys, I've watched this multiple times,
okay.
and I couldn't tell you.
Okay, cool. Cool, 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 cool.
This is a nice place, though. It's very diverse. Like, mm-hmm. I noticed that. It's not just, like, one type of people. I saw, like, soldiers. I saw farmers. I saw tough guys, like with muscle shirts and jeans. I saw women. I saw people in pajamas. All kinds of different people. So this is like, you know, way more men than women, I got to say, though. I only noticed three women, and that was including the pink-haired woman, the sacrificed one, and then there was another woman that looked like she might have been a farmer.
Well, that's because this show's for boys, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boys want to see other boys, okay?
The patriarchy.
How can I enjoy my entertainment if someone's a woman on the screen, okay?
I can't relate to that. They're a different species.
I'll just be jacking off the entire time. How do I get my stories if I got my butt in my hand?
Yeah.
The Iron Cross Army is worse at making jail cells than Gotham City. Because
yeah.
Spider-Man's just able to get out of it, like, just by, like, turning a knob. There's no keys involved.
He did, like, a little escape dance, too. Like, whenever he escapes or rescues somebody, does, like, a little dance before and afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. It's like a shuffle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, to pad time.
No, it's like a spider.
No.
Yeah.
We're on the Isle of Tortuga.
Right, right, right. Tortuga's place.
Pirates of the Caribbean style.
Turtle style.
Oh, is that what Tortuga
turtle
means?
Turtle power.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah. I like turtles. They're about to sacrifice the sister, and
yes.
The main general says this, "May she satisfy your great temper," and that, that's a line that has not aged well. Like, that feels like a domestic dispute.
Yeah, I guess it does. I'm not down with that either. That one flew past me, James. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm upset hearing about that.
Or maybe it has aged well.
Okay.
Because it's commentary.
Oh, well, all right.
Fuck.
I don't know. I sounded slightly like Scooby-Doo, and I went to do a Scooby-Doo voice, but then ended up doing like a Bobcat mixed with Tim Allen.
Okay.
It was Bobcat. That's right. One thing that has stood the test of time and still persists to this day is like the ringing of a bell. Like they were ringing the bell to like call everybody around. And that's something that we hear every day. Like my neighbor, I'm pointing to my neighbor across the street there, or not across the street, but across their backyard. They have a little bell that they ring every night, sometime between 6 and 7, and it's for their cats. They have two cats that hang outside with our cat.
That's so
that
cute.
Little bell is like, come inside for dinner. That's what that reminded me of when I saw them ring the bell in this episode. I was like, oh, time for kitty cat dinner.
In Chicago, it's dropping the 4-on-the-floor house beat.
Yes, that's right. And that the cats come running.
Uh-huh. Because that's Chicago invented house music. That's why I bring it up.
If you like Chicago music, check out Sweet Child of Time, episode 98, the most recent one. James and Corbin on there listening to some Chicago music. I wish you could have joined us. To Nicole, to get some Chicago songs. You might have swept the categories.
I highly doubt that.
There were some songs that you would have gotten immediately, like Shoot Me Sugar, We're Swinging.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, that one. And there's some good stuff from... I didn't know the 4-on-the-floor came from Chicago. I thought that was a more of a New York thing. But
well,
I'm buying it. See, I'm gullible.
I mean the like... The prevalence of it in house music, because house music was created here, it was of course sampled from disco records,
okay.
But then like the real like guh, with the clap on top and then the 909 hat in the middle of all those swiping through.
That would have been more appropriate to call the Tortuga with that instead of a bell. Like you have that like deep bass, 4-on-the-floor. Don't just do 4 though. Like keep it going nice and slow and like a lot of reverb. Spooky.
Yeah.
Get that turtle coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, like Godzilla rises from like the big timpani drums going like doo, doo, doo. No, I want like a and then like Godzilla rises from that over some like horror house music.
Shoots fire in the air real quick. Little one for the ladies right there.
Actually, he shoots an energy beam.
Don't actually a cool fire trick. Come on. It's cool as is.
So Spider-Man like grabs the scroll and he's like, this means nothing. And the guy says, you sully the ancient text by unraveling it. And he's like, dude, this comes from Michaels, okay? The ink is way too of today to
be. The craft store?
Yeah.
Got it.
No, not a man named Michael.
It's literally printed on. They didn't have printers back then. Look at that Times New Roman font.
James, you need to make a TikTok with that scene with Spider-Man saying, this thing means nothing. And then you like superimpose the Bible like in his hands over
dang.
Top. Oh, man, that's deep shit.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Have it be a dollar bill, okay? This shit ooh. Means nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
Shit.
Nobody. Or maybe a heart, like love. This means nothing to nobody.
The Constitution.
Damn. Yeah, because they're pissing on the Constitution every day in the United States. Well, that's technically the Constitution, too.
But I'm saying specifically.
Oh, yeah. Everything else, like the 10, get those out of there.
Yeah, no one cares.
Everything after, pretty okay. Except some of them that were then amended, you know. The amendments of the amendments are kick-ass.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's my favorite part, the amendments. That's right.
Of the amendments.
My favorite part is the right. preamble.
Damn.
It's really got loose, yeah.
I like the parchment it's written on.
Whoa. Do you think they got that at Michael's?
Oh, 100%. I've seen that kind of paper that looks like it's old-timey isn't. That's where they went.
Yeah.
It was actually back then called Michelangelo's.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
It was way long ago, way long ago.
Mm-hmm. Galaxy far, far away.
It only took cash. No credit there.
Imagine, like, your entire way of life just being deconstructed in 5 minutes.
Oh,
by
yeah.
a stranger.
Yeah, a stranger dressed, I guess, as a spider.
Yeah.
I guess dressed more as web.
Web.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because he just is covered in webs. Nothing about him looks like a spider besides well, spiders make these webs and that's what he has on there. Are you web man or spider guy?
Yeah.
Then that guy, Spider-Man says, oh, you've been working with the Iron Cross Army and you are the one who disobeyed and kind of broke the commandments of living here, which is to keep the peace. And the guy, this commander, says, who cares about peace when you've got a switch remote like this and a humanoid turtle android like that? And then he clicks a button and the turtle guy goes, rawr!
The turtle guy is a weak bitch, though.
Yeah.
He had like a, it was like a guitar pedal that he had like on his belt there is what it looked like.
Oh yeah.
And he pressed like the overdrive and that thing came up.
Yeah.
We skipped over a part that I thought was kind of important. Like when they were, this is before this part around, they were like in the same place though. They were all like hanging out by the water. And, I think it might've been when they rang the bell and the guy, the mean guy that we don't like, he says to everybody around, let me see exactly what he said. Find him, kill him, bring him is what he says, which I thought it was time that we could maybe play a round of find, kill, bring, if you guys wouldn't mind.
Okay.
So, okay, the three of us, we have a, like, we have a Venn diagram with a very small center, but I know that we're podcast fans. So you guys have to decide among these three who you're going to find, kill, and bring. Howard Kramer, Brett Morris, Meg and Beth Keister.
Okay. So find, kill, bring?
Yes.
Okay, well, I gotta find Howard because
it'd be the easiest.
Oh, no, it's the hardest to get in contact with him, okay? So,
no, but not to find. He's just at his home.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So I'm bringing him.
But I guess
him.
No one knows where he lives,
yeah,
though.
Exactly. Even though some, I guess just order
no,
something
Megan
from
does,
eBay.
But yeah.
We could get to him, just buy an Austin Stories
DVD.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so find him.
Oh, no, I'm going to bring him. Or you want to know, I'm going to bring Brett.
It's tough, right?
I'm going to bring Brett so he can come over and, like, show me audio shit. But then I have to kill one of these other two?
That's right. That's the thing.
No,
the
I'm
thing.
Killing Brett because I don't even know who the fuck that is.
He did all the
he
summer
does,
music.
He like, music, so I don't just get out of here.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you listened to who charted. So
oh,
this
no.
is not a very fair one. Okay. Well, he's an engineer. He works with Howard a lot. And I see him as like direct competition with the Marshland Monster. So I say kill Brett.
Yeah.
And
okay.
then James can hop in there. Yes.
No, then I have to do summer music. Yeah. I literally cannot do that stuff, okay? I can do the donkey style.
Yeah.
Like that stuff I can do, but the summer, that's got guitars.
So then it just comes down to whether or not you hate women.
I guess, yeah, if that's the case, we'd have to, I would say we have to find Howard Kramer, not like physically, but I think people like should like find his philosophy, find his like, you know, his vibe and like live that.
Actually,
and I guess we would.
I'm going to kill Howard with kindness because that's how I got in to produce for him. I'm going to actually bring Megan because she would love our apartment because it's just full of dumb shit that you can sell on eBay. And then I would find Brett Morris a new guitar pedal because he lost a bunch of them when his car got broken in.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I guess I would have to eventually kill Megan and I would bring Brett as well. I would bring Brett here so he could like help me upgrade my stuff and help me, you know, with my recording. You know, I would bring him and I would find Howard and I guess that means I would kill Megan.
With kindness.
With kindness. Absolutely. I already have. I like write them letters all the time and they always end with like, I love you guys. So that's kindness, right?
Yeah. Maybe we didn't, you know, because one of them is my friend. So it's like, yeah, do you want to kill your friend? Or you should have been like, Corey Sean Shelby.
Go again. How about you? Did you say Corey or Corwin?
Corey.
Corey. Corey.
I'm killing Sean because I think Shelby. He kind of wants that. Not for like a depressed way. I think he'd get off on it. And then he'd say like, this is the ultimate orgasm. And then I'd bring Shelby here because of course. And then I'd find Corey because I would like to know where he lives.
That's the most succinct best answer, I think. I think I can live with that one. And I don't really know either three of them, so I would just kill them all. Sorry, guys.
No, you're what? Why not say find them all on the podcast app of your choice, you piece of shit?
I want to be evil today. That's what I am, as a villain. So, yeah.
Yeah, because then everybody's he can dying. Take their place.
Oh, he wants to write on formulaic?
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I don't want to do that. Sorry. I'm not a writer.
Once a month, he wants to be told things existed.
Yeah.
And he wants to be into wrestling now.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah. He wants to be a juggalo now.
Yeah.
No, I want to, no offense against anybody at the Marshland Media, but I want to take over the ROM complex. That's what I really want to do is record with Sam and we could watch romantic comedies and that would be good. She'd probably be too sad because Shelby's dead though, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't work out.
I ship those two.
They're there to be shipped. I mean, why not?
Okay, so the general dies. He gets shot after all this pandemonium happens. And then this, I will meme this. He like goes, and then makes this huge dramatic fall to the ground. And then they hold on him as they slowly zoom in a little bit. This is the perfect part for a little fart noise. And I will make, or a shart noise.
Bring it back. Were we recording when we were talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a callback then. Great.
So this is the most just go with it, no explanation episode yet. And Spider-Man then is like being confused by these aliens' eyeballs. And he's like, no! And then all of a sudden winds up on the other side of the mountain laying down. And he's like, huh? Was it all real? And he's just screaming for these two people that he just met today. Go home. Be with your family who lost their father, okay? Go be with your girlfriend who you constantly ignore. This is a day off.
He's had a traumatic day, though. He's shattered the faith of, like, a whole village.
No, he reestablished dominance within themselves.
What do the Iron Cross Army, like, what do they get out of this? I don't understand.
Yeah. I think just like a base of operations. See, this episode doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
It's just like, go with it. Even much so. Oh, she changed her outfit. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this guy that showed up at one point is like a regular character, but he was a big guy. He showed up on the mountains and he had a bear trap. for a hand? You know
the
who I'm talking about?
Tortuga.
Oh, that was the Tortuga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You mean
the turtle guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the monster of the week.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if that was the second monster that showed up, because when the Tortuga came out of the water, I was like, there's him. But then, like, when it came up off the top of the mountain and was doing his thing, I saw the bear claw for the hand, which really caught my eye. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, I'm past 50 years old, and I'm still seeing new things on television. I've never seen bear trap as a hand.
Oh, I've seen that. I feel like that's a trope of, I guess, the media I watch.
I've seen a bear trap as a face. There's a guy in Gore who has, like, the bear trap as a face. Mm-hmm. So that's my association, but I've only seen them on the ground and on the guy's face. I've never seen them on a hand. I don't know. It was new to me. That's like, that was one of my biggest notes, is like something new. I like this.
Hell yeah. Nicole, you got any more notes? Cause I'm done.
I just, like a lot of other episodes, I just wish this was like a full story arc. I think it would have been fucking cool, but it's not, unfortunately.
Yeah. You don't really get stuff like that until the 90s when you could put stuff out on VHS to say, hey, these are four episodes that all tie together.
Yeah, but that's it.
Steven?
It was a war crime at the end. That's kind of interesting, right? Like these people surrendered and then she ordered them to like shoot them with machine guns anyway and mowed them down like right like 10 feet away. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely a war crime. Absolutely in like a state of law. I mean, she should go down for that.
Oh, but this is, they're outside of the law. They're not in any municipality.
It should be. I don't want those kind of people walking the streets, James. I want them out of here. And that's a big crime. I mean, they were surrendering. That's like the worst of the worst.
Well, those people sucked. Those were the soldier
just
dudes.
Just the one guy. One guy sucked.
No, all the soldiers sucked. They were all gung-ho because they were all working with Iron Cross Army. Maybe.
Oh, I got the vibe that like the guy that had the guitar pedal on his belt, that he was like the one who like made all this bad stuff happen, and everybody else around him was like, he's the alpha, so we're gonna follow him.
Yeah.
So I don't really blame them quite so much. They could have switched sides to the Iron Cross Army and been good soldiers. They were wearing the same stuff.
Yeah. But they don't like humans being on their team.
Is that an issue?
But I guess they're aliens, technically.
Yeah.
But they also don't like other aliens. They've conquered other worlds.
Yeah.
They're just not into, like, any kind of, like, acceptance of any kind of thing.
No,
cats.
Yeah. They're very exclusive.
I don't like that. But, yeah, I don't have anything else besides a war crime. We can go out on that.
Yeah! Why? Do you want to know what? That's how all of us are probably going to go out someday. Just a big explosive war crime.
And victims awesome. Of such.
Thank you so much for being here, Uncle Stevie.
Oh, thank you, my little nephew James and niece Nicole. I appreciate you having me on here. This is my sixth time in Marshland Media soil. So number six, here we go.
Mostly speaking Sentai.
Oh, so I've been on even more podcasts than just five.
Yeah, because you...
I've lost count, James.
Well, you've been on Death From Above.
Yeah, Sam and Max podcast. Yes.
Shuffling the Deck.
Which is I'm not going to do that.
Which is this. They know.
They know.
So you've been on the Marshland Media stuff a lot. And technically, 99 of Sweaty Time... not Sweaty Time, Sweet Child of Time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good time to plug that. Yeah, I'm coming up on episode 100 of Sweet Child of Time. If you're listening to this the week of like February 20-something, does that sound right, James?
Yeah.
Yeah, then the most recent episode of Sweet Child of Time is going to be with James and Corwin. We talk about Wheel of Time stuff, but if you fast forward to about minute 32, that's when we start having a lot of fun, and that's when James and Corwin really shine. So check out some Sweet Child of Time with these guys. I got that single coming out. That's really the reason that I'm here, James. I hate to tell you, but like I signed a contract with my lawyer. They said I could definitely plug my new song, which comes out March 1st. It's called In the Woods Somewhere, featuring Lindsay Dunn. And I know if you're listening to this, you're probably in the Discord. So in that Sweet Child of Time little section of Marshland Media, I'll probably put the song up there. I'll link to it. But it's going to be everywhere. Spotify, Apple, YouTube, etc. Oh, it's by Introvoid, too. I should say the name of my band. Introvoid. Hook us up.
Hell yeah. Nicole?
You know me. I'm Darling Homebody on social media. Visit darlinghomebody.com for all the cool stuff that I make. I'm still doing the monthly sticker mail, so check that out. This month is Steve B's cat Garfield, just all sleepy, and it's really cute.
No, Steve F's.
Steve F.
Steve F.
That's Steve yes. B.
I was like, in my head, I was like, don't say Steve B. And then I said it out loud. Yes. Yeah.
And do all of that at darlinghomebody.com. Did you say that?
I don't know anymore.
All right. Hey, guys. New single with Dragon Boy Suede, the final single before it's all collected into an album. This one's called G.O.D., Goods on Display. I think it's our best song yet. It's coming out this Friday. I think it's the 23rd, whatever the Friday after this comes out. Yes, the 23rd. It's good. Wherever music is found, listen to my other podcasts like Sweaty Time Pro Wrestling, Formulaic. Just wrote the Pup Named Scooby-Doo script, and we'll be recording that shortly for the watch-along. Not the watch-along, the table read. It's a great time. And head over to patreon.com/MLMpod, where for $5 a month, you get exclusive content every single Friday. This Friday is Nicole and I talking about Kick-Ass on Engaged with Nicolas Cage. And then March,
hell yeah,
again, Lil Corey, it's just This Existed every single Friday. We're discussing every single Critters movie. The fifth one is up for debate if Corey wants to keep going or if I want to keep going after the fourth. But I'm pretty sure the first four will enjoy it. We'll love them. But the fifth one, I don't know. But if you're a $10 patron, you get exclusive content every single month, as well as all the weekly stuff. This month is going to be Sean and I talking about another Vampiro starring movie called The Dead Sleep Easy, which it's not available anywhere. So if you want it, just like contact me and I'll somehow give you access to watch it. And you get shout outs on every single free feed podcast. So let's begin with those, starting with Steve F, Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z, the Waz, Orion, Jordan B, the Chaos Witch, my Bickle brother in common law, Joshua Jakis, Steve Barnes, aka Intro Void, a sweet child of time, my mother, Lil Corey's BFF and now former roommate, Shane, that fed, twitch.tv/Corwinning, it's Corwin. And from the Rom Complex and Formulaic, a podcast and script writing, it's twitch.tv/R2Shelby2. I've been James.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Uncle Stevie.
And we've been Mostly Speaking Spider-Man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/MLMpod and sign up today.
Yes.
I'm upset that I have to wear pants.
Oh, because of this wide angle lens that I can see you all the way. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's one of my ground rules. You can't cross that line.
And I exclusively wear crotchless panties.
And I can't see them through your pants, so that's perfect for me.
That you borrow from me.
I'm gonna be honest, Nicole. I don't think we'd fit anymore. But actually, if I were to wear your underwear, crotchless panties would work, because then it's like that gives extra room to breathe.
Right.
I mean, yeah, because there's nothing there.
It would
bathroom ease. Perfect.
It would be like, you know, when you're like stuffing a sausage and then you're like, well, all of this sausage, I need to have all this sausage go somewhere. I can't just leave it out. You know, like there's some like poking out, you know?
Yeah. Every
exactly
time
like
I'm
that.
Stuffing a sausage.
Yeah. Maybe making a haggis pie or something.
Uh-huh.
Or like, I guess I should have done like a stuffed mushroom or a stuffed pepper and it's just like overflowing the top.
Yeah.
Like great. I think granny panties would work much better in that situation than crotchless panties.
One of us that I'm borrowing from does not own granny panties, so
they're like, you know, a dollar for three.
We don't have that money. We're not working for the government water systems.
I know. I mean, if you want your sausage to stay in your panties, then I think, you know, crotchless is not the way to go.
No, I'm saying comparatively to the other underwear Nicole wears, because my ass and thighs are so big now, like that's filling in everything. But I also have a penis, unlike Nicole. Oh. So the crotchless would be like if you were to cut a hole in some sausage and then let the extra sausage, you know, give it room to breathe.
As usual, the penis gets in the way because, like, the tight muscles and stuff sound good with the underwear. But, like, yeah, with that thing flopping around, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it gets stiff for some reason. What the hell?
Ugh. Calm down.
Speaking of penises, we saw Frank and Lisa, and it was really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Lisa Frankenstein.
Lisa.
Frank and Lisa.
Lisa Frankenstein.
There you go.
Fuck.
Is that from the 80s? Is that an old one?
No, that's from today.
Yeah.
But it's set maybe in the 80s?
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know it then, but yeah, congrats.
It's real good. Diablo Cody did it.
It's very like...
Okay.
Edward like Scissorhands-esque.
I don't think it's...
Oh, yeah?
I don't think it's...
I
there's
do.
Tinges of it.
Yeah.
That's what they were talking
like
about it on...
the aesthetic feels like it.
On Who Charted, and then Chris Fairbanks goes, is this a remake of Frankenhooker? And it's like, no, it's Frankenstein. Like, that's just, it's weird that his context for the Frankenstein story is, that's your context for the Frankenstein story is Frankenhooker?
No, but yeah, when you guys were talking about that, that's the first thing I thought of was the 80s movie Frankenhooker, which is like the same concept. I guess. I mean, obviously, this is what you guys are talking about.
No, because in Frankenhooker, he's just killing hookers. And this, they're like killing bad people.
Okay. We got to check it out, though, because I know Heather is like huge into like anything that has to do with Edward Scissorhands or like Sweeney Todd or that kind of vibe. She wants it. So,
yeah.
We're going to watch it.
All right. You go should. Check it out. Are we ready
Franken-
to rock?
Lisa.
No, Lisa yeah, Frankenstein.
Lisa Frankenstein. That's her last name is Frankenstein. Okay.
Well, technically it swallows then, but she's making a Frankenstein.
Well, because I think it's like, oh, we're referencing Lisa Frank from the 90s.
Who's Lisa Frank?
You don't know who Lisa Frank is?
Okay, but if she's from the 90s, this is a movie set in the 80s about Frankensteins.
Well, because it's like colorful.
Today on the dirt bike track, we learned that illusions... Oh, yeah.